Thank you so much for joining. Birshuschem, I would like to share. I'm actually very excited to share this. I would like to share an approach to probably the part of the Haggadah that the least Torah is shared about that part. And that's mainly because it's at the part of the Haggadah where many people are Torahed out and really just want to get to the food. And also halachically during this part, it's really best to not talk. And that is at the end of Magid, where we have Rachza, Motzi Batza, Maror Korech, Shulchan Orech, and Safun. In some seders, by the time you're at this part of the seder, it's very late at night. People are starving. You have challenges with all kinds of seder participants, maybe children, maybe adults. And hopefully at this point, a person has experienced the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and has fulfilled what Chazal guide us and command us to do. To say that we have seen ourselves as if we have left Mitzrayim. But I would like to present an approach to this part of the Seder that I really think is revolutionary and I think is profound and I think can add a tremendous level of depth and meaning to this part of the Seder, which generally is just considered the eating part. And I'll begin with an idea from the Nitziv. The Nitziv in his Haggadah, it's called the Imrei Shefer, a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah, beautiful Perush in Haggadah. So the Nitziv asks a question that many ask, that many deal with, and that is the Magid ends with a little bit of Hallel, the first two chapters of Hallel, Halleluka and B'tzeis Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, and we're all familiar with those chapters of Hallel. We say them every day of Pesach, we say them in Rosh Chodesh, and we just stop. Then at the very end of the meal, the very end of the Seder, the very last thing, according to Arizal, who doesn't have Nirtza, but before the Piyutim of Nirtza, then we finish the Hallel. So many wonder, what's the deal with the split Hallel? What's the deal with the split Hallel? It seems like it's appropriate to say Hallel after we've left Mitzrayim, but we just get like a little taste, a little tease. Just the beginning of Hallel, and then we don't finish off the Hallel until the very end of the Seder. And there's many different approaches to why we split the Hallel into two. Maybe the most famous one, or at least one that the first one that I learned back when I was in Yeshiva from my Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim Eisenstein Shlita, is that of Toras Brisk, the Brisker Rav, who says that there's actually two types of Hallel. There's, and I don't want to belabor this idea, but it's a beautiful idea and worth looking into more. But the Brisker Rav famously taught that there's two types of Hallel. There's what's called a Hallel Shel Kriya, which is the standard Hallel that we say all year long. And then there's a Hallel Shel Shira, which is much deeper, much more spontaneous, much, much more spiritual and emotional, which is the Hallel that we say at the end of the Seder, which is coming from a place of much deeper emotion and profound feeling of having been redeemed. And he says the reason why we split the Hallel is because there are these two different motifs, two different aspects of Hallel. However, the Nitziv in his Haggadah, he says something, and I heard this recently. I think I learned it, but I heard it recently in a shir from a Rebbe from Shalvim, Rabbi Hu Turetsky. He had a beautiful shir on Hallel and Haggadah, Hallel and Seder night, and he quoted this Nitziv, and it really spoke to me in a deep way. The Nitziv says, we're not actually splitting the Hallel, but rather we start the Hallel and then we insert within the Hallel our festive meal, the matzah, the korech, the entire seuda, our wonderful celebratory festive feast. It's part of Hallel that we give praise to Hashem through the celebration, through the feast of the Seder night. And we culminate the Hallel getting back to the text of Hallel. And it's one long experience, expression of giving praise and thanksgiving and gratitude and celebration of the miracles that Hashem did for us. Now, these are two very, very fundamental different approaches, that of Brisk and that of the Nitziv. And I realized that I think they're very, very emblematic. They're very, very indicative of the hashkafa of the Nitziv on the one hand, and of the Brisk Rav and Brisk in general on the other hand, of being able to analyze something either as two distinct motifs or as trying to find one unity, one unified concept. Brisk found two different motifs in the hollow, whereas the Nitziv saw really one unifying theme, making it one long hollow. But based on this idea of the Nitziv, which I think is so beautiful, I was thinking, and this is what I would like to share tonight, and I think this is very, very special. Perhaps we can look at everything that happens from the very end of the Maggid, when we start the hollow, all the way through to the actual Hallel, and even to the end of the Seder, as really part and parcel of this celebration of the redemption that we just experienced. Namely, that if we take the Nitziv's principle, everything that happens can be incorporated into our celebration of the redemption that we just experienced. Rachza, Motzi, Matzah, Maror, Korech, Shulchan Orech, Safun, Barech, Hallel, Nirza, it's all part of the celebration and the expression of how moved we are by the redemption that we just experienced. And I would like to go through quickly all of these steps. I'll try to be fast, with how they represent and how they are a specific celebration of being redeemed as a result of completing the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the very first one is Rachza. Right after we begin our Hallel and we end the Maggid and we have the second cup of wine, the very first thing we do within this redemption, within this Hallel of the redeemed person, is we wash our hands. Now, we're so used to washing our hands. Oliver probably washed his hands a few minutes ago before he began eating his pizza. We wash our hands when we wake up in the morning. We wash our hands before davening. We wash our hands before we have a bread meal. We wash our hands when we use the bathroom. We wash our hands all the time. But on the Seder night, it gives us an opportunity. And if you look at many of the Haggadahs, when it comes to Kiddush and Rachza and Motzi and Matzah, they're ideas that we can take with us for the entire year. Many point out the difference between Rachza at this stage of the Seder and Orchatz at the very, very beginning of the Seder. What's the difference? A difference that I would like to share. Orchatz is Lashon Tzivui. Orchatz is Lashon Tzivui. Wash your hands. You have to wash. Rachza is much more calm. It's much more human. It's much more coming from a place without being mitzuvah v'osa, even though we do say gadol mitzuvah v'osa, but it's second nature. It's okay, I'm redeemed, and I'm going to wash my hands. Perhaps the contrast of Orchatz, which is a tzivui, versus Rachza, which is what we're doing on our own, the first thing that we do after we complete this geula in the midst of this hallow, it doesn't have the shame of the Orchatz. It doesn't have the embarrassment. My hands are dirty. My hands are dirty. I touched something. I don't have Yadayim Nikios, Yadayim Askanios saying, okay, my hands are dirty. And with confidence and joy and pride and humility, I'm going to wash my hands. As opposed to Rachza, I need to be told to do it. But a person who's been redeemed, a person can look at those parts in their life that require a little rechitza, a little tahara, a little cleansing, a little purification. B'simcha Rabba, I'm a redeemed person. I don't have the guilt. I don't have the shame that an unredeemed person has. I'm a human being. And Yadayim Askanios saying, it's a reality of life. So I wash my hands with pride and joy. And that's the first thing that we do in the midst of this hallel of redemption based on the Yisod of the Nitziv. Motzi Matzah. Rav Kook, in his Haggadah, I'm going to share a few ideas from Rav Kook. Rav Kook, in his Haggadah, he. I'm not going to share what he says. I didn't really understand it. But just one zustell that he makes, one cross reference that he makes in Motzi, is that Motzi, there's two, this Motzi that we're making right now can be correlated to the fact that Hashem was Motzi Klal Yisrael Mimitzrayim. There was something that was redeemed. There was something that was taken out. Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And every single time we sit down and we eat some bread, we say the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. What does it mean? So when being Motzi something is to redeem it. We were redeemed. Hashem was Motzi us, Yitzias Mitzrayim. What is a person, what are the eyes that a person who's been redeemed have? The eyes that a person who's been redeemed allow him to see how other things in the world are also redeemed. Another person could eat bread, not make a bracha, and not say this profound statement, this profound declaration of Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz, that God redeemed, he rescued, he took out bread from the earth. What? Took out bread from the earth? There's no bread from earth. There's wheat. You take the wheat, you grind it up, you make flour, you add some water, you make some bread. No, but Jewish eyes, redeemed eyes, see that Hashem was Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Once we have been have experienced Hashem being Motzi us from Mitzrayim, we have eyes that give us the ability to see that it's not just bread. It was something that also had a redemption. It was something that also Hashem gave it its potential to come to fruition. It was Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. It came from Artzias. It came from earthliness. But Hashem took out this tremendous koach, this tremendous satiating food, this delightful satiating food that every human being Lechem Levadu Yichya Adam. But it was redeemed. But only redeemed eyes can see that bread was also the experiencer or the recipient of a redemption as well. Weiter, matzah. We could talk a
Wait,
lot
can I
about
say
matzah. We don't
something?
need to. Many, many people speak about matzah. Yes, Oliver?
I was just thinking, like, what does like hamotzi really mean? And I was just thinking, I think it means like when you like take something out, when it's like trapped, and you bring it to like, its full potential. Like we were kind of like
That's
stuck in
right. That's right.
Mitzrayim. Yeah, we were like kind of like limited, like confined, and like so, like motzi us became like you know like a whole like arm cut us, and like something like the lechem, it's like
Exactly,
trapped.
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with food. Right, the Kabbalists talk about food. That food also it has all these, you know. The Kabbalists talk about the nitzotzos, the sparks of holiness, the sparks of godliness that are trapped in the world. And when a person with refinement and with intellect removes those the cultivates the world around us, he takes it out. He's motzi those sparks from their imprisonment, so to speak. Just like the Jewish people were taken out from our imprisonment. Rabbi Keller, is it okay if I go a few minutes after? I didn't start till a few more minutes.
Please, I turned on the video so I could show that I was so enjoying you being mostly this Torah.
Gewaltig, weiter. Okay, I'm not going to talk about matzah. Matzah is the bread of redemption. The whole Indian of matzah is geula. Matzah is the food of geula. The Maharal speaks that how matzah is timeless, right? Matzah can't pass the 18 minutes, but matzah bichlal is above time. A redeemed person has the ability to be transcended in many ways, to be transcendent of time. Weiter. The most important idea that I want to share, and I've shared this idea many years, but I have to share it every year. I just shared it in Shul on Shabbos as well. And this idea of maror, because maror comes next within this hallel. We said that the Nitziv developed that everything is part of the hallel. So what in the world is maror doing within the hallel? So this is an idea from Rav Kook, and it's, I think it sums up the entire Seder. Many Achronim ask the question that Maror is totally misplaced. Maror should be at the beginning. If Maror is Zecher of the Merirus, if Maror is the bitterness, the torment, the pain, the suffering, so Maror should be the beginning of the Maggid. Why do we have Maror after the Matzah, after the Geula? Rav Kook has an idea which is so unbelievable, and other Achronim hint to this as well. But the way Rav Kook says it is amazing. Rav Kook says, no, the Maror is not the Maror of Galus Mitzrayim. The Maror is not the Maror of slavery. The Maror is not the Maror of the torture and the misery and the pain and suffering that we experienced in Mitzrayim. The Maror that we eat after our Geula is the mirror of life as we know it. So then what is it doing there? Says Rav Kook, the mirror is our first challenge after we've experienced Geula. Because life incorporates bitterness. There's bitterness in life. It's a metzius. But a redeemed person is able to even recognize the love of Hashem within the maror as well. The maror is the first challenge that we're given after we're being redeemed. Okay, you just got out of Mitzrayim. Now I'm going to give you a challenge. A redeemed person is able to see that that challenge is really love. It's really an expression of Hashem's dedication and education, guidance and inspiration. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's challenging. And if Cook says that the bar is to challenge us, for can a person accept the bitterness of life with love? And therefore, the mar is not the mar of pre-Mitzrayim, it's the mar of post-Mitzrayim. And it's a challenge for us to be able to eat that mar. One year, when I was eating my mar and saying the bracha, it was a little bit of an out-of-body experience. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al achilas maror. It's such a profound statement that God sanctified us and commanded us to eat the bitter herbs. On the one hand, what a cruel God. What a cruel God that he would command us to eat the bitter herbs. No. Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al achilas maror. He sanctified us. That through the maror, through recognizing that the maror is a gift, it's a hard gift. This is the hardest thing that any mature person has to learn in life, that the difficulties of life are also really a gift. But when a person realizes that, when a person is redeemed, they can even celebrate the maror of life as well. Korach. The next thing is Korach. We'll share two ideas of Korach, and then we'll finish up. Korach. What's Korach? Korach is Zecher leMikdash keHillel. Rav Kook says in his Haggadah that we dafka make it a point to mention Hillel. Because who was Hillel? Hillel was Hevemi Talmid of Shel Aaron, Olev Shalom, Berod of Shalom, Ohevis Abrios, and Mekarvin LeTorah. Hillel was the one who was able to unite the opposites. He was the one who taught us to be like Aaron HaKohen. And that even when there's strife, even when there's differences, to strive for love, strive for harmony, strive for peace, that you could take the matzah, the food of Geula, and you could take the maror, the food of galus and pain, and you could eat them together. You could unite those opposites. And when we eat the korech as a redeemed person, we're able to look for the peace between these opposing forces of the matzah and maror. And personally, everybody in our lives has maror moments and maror moments. A redeemed person knows that their story incorporates both the matzah moments and the maror moments. A redeemed person knows I can't just eat the matzah without the maror. I have to be able to accept that matzah can only come together with the maror, and maror can only come together with the matzah. This is the reality of the life that Hashem created us with. And when we eat the korech, we're able to not just celebrate the good and leave the bad behind. No, we eat them together because a redeemed person knows that our story, that our path has to incorporate both the maror and the matzah together. And I think we could talk about many more ideas, but I want to hand over the microphone to Rabbi Kalish Shlita. But I think if a person looks at this part of the Haggadah from the end of Magid onwards, rachza, motzi, matzah, maror, korech, shulchan orach, the celebration, Tzafun is that a redeemed person has the ability to know that there's something hidden in the world. A redeemed person knows that I have to be looking for something deeper, that I'm not just settled with what's on the surface. Halel, Nirza, that these are all opportunities to experience life as a redeemed person after a person has, Mirza Shem, successfully accomplished the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Magid. Hashem should help each and every one of us really, really be yotze from our own Mitzrayim, from Mitzrayim in the world around us, and then to take each and every one of the steps of the second half of the Seder to embody and to experience and to live as a truly redeemed person from there. And Mitzvah Hashem, from Pesach onwards, we should be zochot to see Benisa Nigalu, Benisan, Mamish this year. We should be zochah to see the Gula Shlema. B'meir b'yameinu.
Amen. Shakach Romina. Shakach. So nice to see everyone here on the Zoom. Going to go straight in. So some of the ideas we're going to touch on are very much a continuation of Rav Miller's beautiful chizuk. And some of them are new, and Mitz Hashem will come together to help us, Mitz Hashem, prepare for Pesach, along with Robert Green's ideas to come. Okay, so it's called Seder Night, Leila Seder. Why is it called Seder Night? Leila Seder, if you think about it, it's anything but Seder. Seder means it's all organized and regular and structured and normal. But if you think about Leila Seder, it's anything but that. It's anything but normal. It's anything but regular. Why is it called Leila Seder? So there's a few different answers. I'd like to share with you one very special answer I saw in the Sfas MS, which is that Klal Yisrael live on the supernatural plane. We don't live on the regular plane. We just saw that last night. We don't live like every other nation. We don't live on the regular plane. Hashem's Seder for Klal Yisrael is the supernatural. That is the Seder for Klal Yisrael. That's what we're reinforcing on Leila Seder, on Seder night. And we realize, yeah, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and he did all these nisim for us. That's the Seder that he gave. That's how he runs the Jewish people, through nisim. Through nisim, that's why we're here. Through nisim that we're here, able to talk to right now. Through nisim right now. That's exactly how Hashem runs the world for the Jewish people. That is the order of Klal Yisrael. That's what we're enforcing on Leila Seder. That's something to think about as we begin Leila Seder. What are we really trying to achieve on Seder night? So there are a couple of main goals. And I'd like to just show you, articulate those two goals and give a couple of examples of how they manifest throughout the night. And in Mitzvah Hashem, I'll give a little bit of homework that we can, if you have your eye on these goals, you'll be able to spot them throughout Leila Seder. And the more we appreciate, the more we think about how these goals are manifest, the more that we see them, the more we'll be able to connect to Leila Seder and join all the dots together. So what are those goals? Number one is actually experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's one goal. And the second goal is to transmit that experience to others as well as to ourselves. So how do we see that? So just a few examples, and hopefully this will prompt all of us to think of further examples and help make the whole Leila Seder more meaningful for everyone. Okay, so one example is Haseba, the leaning. Okay, so the Gemara says that we actually lean on for all four cups. Okay, it's a machlokes, which two cups. The bottom line is we lean on all four cups. And the Gemara says, Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Ches says, why do we lean on the latter two cups? What's the svara for leaning on the latter two cups? The reason is because that's when we are finally free. So how does that make sense? How does that make sense? Because we're finally free in the latter two cups. That's why we lean then. The answer is because on this very night, Leila Seder, we are actually experienced. We're experiencing it right now. It's not just a historical moment. We're actually experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim now, right now, Leila Seder. So until that point of the night, we were actually experiencing Avdus. And during the latter two cups, we're actually experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're experiencing that transition. Hallel. I'll give you another example on Hallel. So we know Hallel is generally only said in the daytime. It says in the Pasuk in Hallel, when Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavor, from sunrise. That's when we praise Hashem. From sunrise onwards. How can it be? There's a chi of Hallel. Of course, you can say Pesukim anytime. But how could it be there's a chi of Hallel at nighttime? It doesn't make sense. Says Rav Haigon, and I'll tell you the Peshat. This is not a regular Kriyas Hallel. This Hallel that we're chayav in, it's spontaneous joy. It's a spontaneous joy that we have right now as we've just experienced freedom. Or let us say that we are experiencing freedom. And what happens when you experience freedom? You erupt into joy. That's what's happening, says Haigon. Look at the pictures of Liberation Day after the Shah. You see this spontaneous joy that people actually felt and that's something that we're trying so hard to feel on Leila Seder, and that's why there's a Chiv Halal. It's not Chiv Kriyas Halal, it's a Chiv of Halal that comes through the actual experience of experiencing joy in the moment as we come out of Mitzrayim, we come out of our own Mitzrayim, of our own boundaries. Okay, the dipping that we talk about in the Ma'ala Shana and that we experience throughout Leila Seder, that dipping is also, it's an experiential factor. We are experiencing freedom, hence we are dipping. Okay, the whole Seder really is experiential. You see that we use all our senses, the taste, the hands, even the fingers in the wine. We're looking at things, we're speaking, we're listening, not just the kids. All the adults are doing this also. The entire Leila Seder is designed in such a way to utilize all of our senses, and that's because we are trying to experience. And if we're trying to experience something, we want to use all the senses in order to experience that. Okay? Okay, let's move on to a different idea. Okay? Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu is followed by the four sons. He says, Keneged Arba Banim. So what's the juxtaposition between that statement, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael, Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah, and the Arba Banim? It says that that statement is Keneged Arba Banim. It corresponds to the four sons. So one idea I heard once is that is we're trying to reinforce at this point in the Torah that we have, that he gave La'amo Yisrael, is Ba'amas, is really Keneged Arba Banim. It's corresponding to all four children, to all four of us, to every single one of us. Everyone has a chelek in Torah. Some of us may not have tasted it yet. Some of us may be in Eish Geshev Hashan Aleph when we just tasted it for the first time, and it was so geshmak. And maybe there are other people at the table who haven't had that. But the takeaway at this moment in time is we're trying to build the achdus. Is yes, everyone has a chelek in Torah. The Torah says, as the Gemara says, that if you hold it back Torah from someone else, from another Jew, it's like you're stealing him in nachlas avosav. It's his nachla too. He received it just like you received it from Har Sinai. And that's something, as we begin Leila Seder, and classically most families will have a variety of people around the table, whether they have classically the four sons, as one person recently told me, they really believe they have the four sons in their family, or whether they don't have the classic four sons, but they have other people and people from different backgrounds and stripes and cousins and people with a lot of different people normally around the table. It's time to bear in mind that at that moment, what we're trying to build from then on in the Seder is Achdus, in a sense, not just of Achdus, but that Achdus comes from the Torah. The Torah itself is something that we each have our chelek in, we each have our connection to. Okay, matzah. Let's speak a bit about it. Matzah is both a symbol of freedom and of slavery. It's a little bit counterintuitive. How can matzah be both? It's both. We understand, yes, on the one hand, it's a symbol of the freedom. We came out and we didn't have time to bake the bread. So yes, it's a sign of freedom, but it's also the lechem oni. It's what we had in Mitzrayim. So how can it be both? One thing could be both things. So one idea I heard from Rav Gedalia Hochberg based on the Maharal is that one can only really feel and express hakaras hatov, an appreciation for something, if one has experienced life without that thing. Okay, and therefore, in order to truly, really appreciate our freedom, one needs to experience the slavery first. And therefore, in order to express that appreciation and feel that gratitude for the freedom, it's necessary to use the same item that takes us back to that slavery, so that momentarily we can realize, this takes me back to the slavery. And Baruch Hashem, I'm not in that slavery. I have chairus right now. And so only through using the same item can one actually feel and get to a point that one can appreciate the chairus that one is experiencing and thankful for. Okay, that's one idea. Second idea, something I saw in Sfas MS, which is more along the lines of something Ryan Miller spoke about, which is that, you know why it's the same thing? The matzah is the same thing. It's freedom and it's slavery. You know why? Because everything is part of Hashem's master plan. Everything is part of Hashem's master plan, the geula, the hard times and the good times. Yes, the hard times, like the Rina spoke about the Mara. The hard times, the slavery. Yes, we may not have understood it and why it was happening and the greater context of it, but we know We know that we are under the special hashgacha of Hashem, and he's doing it as part, it's a stage, it's a necessary stage in the Geula. Whatever the reason is, we know that it's a necessary stage that we need to get to as part of the Geula process. It's not despite the slavery that we had Geula. It's through the slavery that we got to Geula. It's through the hard times Hashem gives us that we grow. It's through those difficult, painful moments that we become the greatest version of ourselves. It's through those moments individually and through those moments nationally that we arise up and become the powerhouse Hashem wants us to become. That's the mitzvah Marah together. The sandwich, the hilah sandwich. You can't separate the two. It's part of Hashem's master plan. We're not saying, I'll just take the good thing. No. Hashem, I'm with you all the way. I know this is my expression of a bitachon in you, Hashem, that you've put me here for a reason, that you've given me these things, that everything you've given me is part of your entire master plan to help us get to Pias HaMashiach, to help us Mekadesh Shemayim in this world. You've given us everything that we have, the challenges and the good times. It's one sandwich. Every part, every challenge is a necessary stage in enabling us individually and as a people to reach our ultimate potential. And that's really the theme of the night. Going back to the question that we started with about why it's called Leila Seder, that's another reason why it's called Seder Night, according to Svas Emes. We said before the first answer to Svas Emes, that the Seder, the order of Klal Yisrael, is a supernatural. Here is another answer of the Svas Emes, that the order is the master plan. That's what we're enforcing on Leila Seder, that Hashem has a master plan, that everything that happens is part of Hashem's master plan. That's the Seder. That's Leila Seder, the night of the master plan, the night of the order, the night of the master plan. Everything that happens is part of his master plan. Even the slavery in Mitzrayim, not just the coming out of Mitzrayim, but even the first half of the Haggadah is part of the master plan. Even the difficult times, even the times that we're drinking as slaves and we're finding things hard, that's also part of the master plan. That's Leila Seder, the night of the grand plan. That's the ultimate Seder, the grand plan, the master plan. That is something that we can try, Ms. Hashem, to internalize throughout the night. Then we move into Karapas Yachat Halachma, the four sons, Kosa Leo. I'll tell you a beautiful idea I heard from Rav Meir Goldsmith, based on Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam, Chametz Matzah Halach, Perek Ches Halacha Beis. The Karapas, we know, reminds us of the Kersones Pasim, the coat, the Yosef's coat. So what happens when we dip the Karpas in salt? Well, what are we doing, says Ramir Goldberg? What we're doing is we're dipping that, we're reenacting actually what happens. But how do we get into this mess? The brothers dip the coat in the blood, right? That's what happens. That's what we're doing through Karpas. We take the Kersones Pasim, represented by the Karpas, and we dip that in the salt water. We remind us, how do we get into this mess? Through this act of dipping, the breaking up of the family that's represented by Yachatz, Karpas followed by Yachatz. And then what happens once we have disunity? So then the rest of time is essentially about building that unity. And that's why we start straight after Yachatz, and we've broken up the family, and Klal Yisrael are going their separate ways. So now we have to build after. So how are we going to do that? We say halach ma'anya. You know what? Halach ma'anya. Come and eat. Come and eat. Someone come in. I want to start rebuilding the Jewish nation. You need a meal? Come inside. Well, let's start with some achrasas okrim. Let's bring the four sons together. We see we have the four sons. And it's Hashem. And through many, many statements of achdus, Okuneged Arba Banim, bringing the four sons together, many further statements of achdus and actions representing achdus, we hope we get to a point of being zocher to Eliyahu Navi and the Beis HaMikdash coming. That's actually one of the ideas. If you think about one of the most common words, and it might be even the most common word in the Haggadah, is the word ma, mem he, ma. What's mem he? Mem is 40, which is really the numeric, according to sort of some forms of gematria, the numerical equivalent of Arba, of Dalet. Okay, Dalet means destitute. Okay, that's how we were at the beginning. Destitute, that's how we start. In a place of destitution, in a place of slavery, a difficult time. Then what we're trying to do is get to the hay. Hay is a place of geula. The neshama, there's five parts to the neshama. Hay represents the geula. Mem hay, the ma, what we're asking for, and the common theme throughout Leila Seder is we're trying to get from the mem to the hay, from the four to the five, from that inner place of mem, of dal, of destitution, to a place where we've come out of that. We've gone above this regular order of four. We've got to the hay, which is, by the way, the Kosher Elio is the fifth cup. And why even some have the minhag to even drink from it? Because that's what we want to get to. We want to get a little bit of a taste of Eliyahu HaNavi. We want to get a taste of Geula, Mitzvah Hashem. Finish out one final idea, and then we'll move over to Rabbi Green. And that is the custom sofa. Finish up with this. If you think about it, all of the Yom Tovim, there's normally something special going on in shul. Something. A shofar, some Rabba Minim waving, some Aravos banging, some Megillah, maybe some flowers like a Shavuos, a menorah on Chanukah. What about Pesach? What do you see special in shul? Nothing. You don't see anything in shul. What's going on? Says Chazan Sofer, this is the Peshat. It's back to basics. Pesach is back to basics. You know why? What we're doing on Pesach? We're turning our home into the shul. We're turning our home into the base of Medrash. We're turning our home into the base of Migdash. How many mitzvahs are there? There's a count. 64 mitzvahs. 64 mitzvahs on the night. Let us say, where are they happening? Not in the shul. They're happening in the bias, with your family, with the cover on Pesach, and your little chabura. That's where it's happening. He got to Levincha, pass on the Masurah, at home, to your children. That's where the Gula is coming from. It's coming, starts with the bias. And you know what? Hashta. Now, hacha, here in the bias. That's where it happens, through our relationships at home, the relationships with our spouse, the relationships with our parents, relationships with our kids that we're giving to, relationships to our parents that we're receiving from. How are we acting towards them? How are we speaking to them? How are we speaking to the people who come into the house? How are we speaking to the people who go out of the house? How are we speaking to them when they leave to school? How are we speaking to them when they come back? How are we putting them to bed? How do we say goodnight? How do we act towards the people in our home? That's the focus of Leila Seder. And says the Chazon Sofer, if you turn your home into a base of Medrash, then the same way the Gemara Megillah says that in the time of the Geula, the base of Medrash, even the Chutz Laaretz, will travel to Yerushalayim for the Geula. So to Mitzvah Hashem, our bias, our own bias, will also come to Yerushalayim. Even if you live in Rav Bet Shemesh, be able to go. Even if you live in the five towns, or you live in Miami, you'll be able. Your bias is like a base of Midrash. You also travel to Yerushalayim. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocher all of us to be able to tap in this Leila Seder, the night of the supernatural, to realize that Hashem runs Klal Yisrael to the supernatural, to realize that Hashem, that this Leila Seder, that Hashem's got a master plan, that everything's part of His grand plan, and Mitzvah Hashem be able to focus and to be able to connect to these ideas. And to connect to the people around us, in the family, at the home, the mission to be able to build a bias ourselves, our greatest family, and all of Klal Yisrael, to bring the base of Midrash from Hevi Amen to Amen.
Amen. Shkoyach Rabbi Keller.
Amen.
Green.
Okay, Gevaldik. Okay, it's a hard act to follow. Follow up Rabbi Miller and Rabbi Keller. It's an incredible and beautiful and inspiring Divrei Torah, but I will share a few minutes of some of my favorite ideas on the Seder. And really, the truth is, I'm mostly going through the Maggid, you know, a few different parts of Maggid. You know, the main mitzvah of the Haggadah is the Gadat Vincha, a secret mitzvah of the Reis of Secret Season Shrine. And so, therefore, I'd like to very much to make sure that we have a deeper understanding of that. So one question that arises is a question of why is it that there's no mitzvah, that there's no bracha on the mitzvah of Sikri Sitzin Shrayim. We say a bracha on the matzah, we say a bracha on the mara, We don't say bracha and dalet kosos. That's another sugya. That's another discussion. But why is no bracha here? This is dalet kosos. Okay, Rabbanan, and this kiddush. It gets complicated. So why not on the mitzvah daris of sibur zis mitzrayim? So I have four answers for why is it that we don't say bracha on the mitzvah sibur zis mitzrayim. So the one answer is as brought down, I believe, by Rav Soloveitchik, says we say in the Haggadah mitzvah alinu l'saper b'yitzias mitzrayim. So it is mitzvah for us to speak, to tell the story in yitzias mitzrayim. What does it mean in yitzias mitzrayim? Why not al yitzias mitzrayim l'saper es yitzias mitzrayim? So he explains because since chayv adam liros is asma kilu hu yasam mitzrayim, so he has to be in the story. You have to be in the story. How do you get into the story? L'saper b'yitzias mitzrayim. He says this is a kiyum shabalev. A kiyum shabalev means that it is something that you're thinking about, something that you're feeling. It's a mental process, and therefore, since it doesn't have as much of a concrete kind of a kiyum in the physical world, so therefore, there's no brachas. Similarly, another answer is that it's a mitzvah she'en la shir. We only make a bracha on a mitzvah that has a specific shiur of how much we want to say. And since we say about the Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim called Marv L'Saper Mitzrayim Harizem Meshubach, so therefore that there's no shiur, there's no minimum, there's no maximum, and it could go on all night until Sos Mark Pirish, you know, Shaboker, and therefore the mitzvah Shein LaShir, we don't say a bracha. A third answer is that is also there's a famous idea from Rav Soloveitchik that there is a bracha on Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim because he says that the paragraph of Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shem Sinter Lama Yisrael is a Birchas HaTorah, and really the mitzvah of Haggadah is the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah to be mechadesh and the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, Limud HaParshios, and to be mechadesh and to find deeper new havanos. Right, every year, more and more Haggadahs come out. You ever wonder, like, how come there aren't more Svarim out on Maseches Zvachim? I don't know. How come every year they don't come out with new Svarim on, I don't know, on Sefer Yeshua? Why? How come every year there aren't new Svarim out on like about Sukkot? You know, here and there are, but why is it every year there's like another 5 to 10 Haggadahs come out? The answer is because mitzvah sabah b'sis mitzrayim, it's a mitzvah b'mechadesh, a kol marbez harizem meshubach, and so therefore we take the story seriously. There's so many diukim in the Haggadah, so many lessons in the Haggadah. There's eternal lessons over here. That is one shot in the fact that there is a bracha. Another pshat is that there is a bracha of on the mitzvah sabah b'sis mitzrayim with a bracha achrona, where when a person comes to the end of Magid and before drinking the second coast, they say the bracha asher ga'alanu v'ga'alas havaseinu. It's a long bracha, bracha rucha over there, that a person says asher ga'alanu, that is the bracha on the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Oh, you'll ask me a kasha. We're all brachos, Rebbe, all brachos, when they come to, you know, brachos ha-mitzvah, you have to do them over Las Yasa, and you have to do them before performing the mitzvah. So how is it that we're saying now bracha on the mitzvah Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim only afterwards? So the answer is that this is similar to a ger. When a ger goes to the mikvah, they can't say a bracha before going into mikvah, because they're not Jewish. So they're not shayach to that ma'aseh mitzvah yet. However, after they come out of the mikvah, they after they dipped once, And there's technically a halos of the tefila, so then they could make a bracha, and they dip another time. But the idea is that really the bracha only comes afterwards. Why? Because only then have they attained the status. So too over here, since the mitzvah is liros asasu kilu hu yatsa mi mitzrayim, so only once the mitzvah is performed, once the person feels through performing the actions and Pesach, Matzah, Morah, and telling his mitzvah Mitzrayim, once he emerges from that, he can feel Raz Atzma Kilu Yatzma Mitzrayim, so then he can say the Bracha of Hashem Galonu V'Galat Zavaseinu and Bless Hashem for the Geula. Okay, finally. No problem, Hal. Thank you. There's one other answer to this, which is the idea that Sibut Yisrael is a mitzvah sichlis. It is a logical mitzvah of Hakar Satov. And just like we don't have a bracha on mitzvah Kibud Avim, because it's also Hakar Satov, so too we don't have a bracha on the mitzvah Sibut Yisrael. This leads us into my next topic. My next topic is, what exactly is the purpose, what is the point, in a certain way, of the mitzvah Sibut Yisrael? What is it we're trying to accomplish? Well, the Gemara in Maseches Psachim Kuta Zayin Amud Aleph tells us a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to how we fulfill this story properly. There is a chiyuv lahaschil begnus l'sayim mishvah, to start with a negative and end off with a positive. So how do we fulfill that? So Rav holds that we start with mitchila obdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, that initially our forefathers were obdei avodah zarah. And this is a big genai, this is a big degradation for us to recall our humble beginnings of being idol worshippers. And that's where the story really starts. But now, Baruch Hashem, we've come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shmuel says, no, the story of Sibut Yisrael, the genus is that Avarim Hainu, Parv Mitzrayim. And that's it. And therefore, that is the mitzvah of the Sibut Yisrael, Maskel B'Gnus Mitzrayim Mishvah. Oh, so what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokas here? So just, I'll give a Mayer Malkam, there is a Harei Kedem, where he teaches up from Salvechik, he explains that it's a Machlokas based on a L'shitasam between Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel in Maseches Gittin about Shichur Avodim. I'm not going to go there. It's very technical. And I think I like my pshat better. So my pshat is as follows. What is this Machlokas about? It's a Chakira in the purpose of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, but even more so, it's a Chakira in what is the purpose of Avodas Hashem in general. What are we doing in this world? Is it that I am an individual? Okay, Rabbi Berger would say, are you an individual or part of a group? So is it that I'm an individual and therefore I have to get myself into Olam Haba? I have to get through Olam Haza, I have to get into Olam Haba, I have to try to be rack up as many zechuyos, rack up as many zechuyos as I possibly could in order to raise myself to higher and higher levels? Or do I have a greater and grander chiyuv in order to become a greater mashpia in this world, to be a conduit for kiddushim shemayim, to share HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha in this world with a greater and grander purpose of influencing the broader world? Bekitzer, is it the individual or is it part of the group? So Rav, who says that our master is mitchila of devarah zara hayu avaseinu, he says this is a din in the gavra. This is a din in individuals. We come from individuals who were of devarah zara. They were degraded in the fact that they weren't connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kirvan ramakum levarah so, but Hashem par is close to him. Look where we are now. We're closer to Hashem, and This is like the Rambam's lashon in Hilchos Tshuva, where he says, "What's Tshuva? Esmol, this once upon a time, Haya, or maybe he says Emesh, Haya is a Meshuka to Murchok. He was a disgusting, decrepit person. This guy who's not close to Hashem. Achshav, Ohu v'Nechmad v'Yedid. Now he's beloved and precious to Hashem and close to Hashem. And this is the idea that a person has to be mechazik himself. That Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, says Rav, is Maskel B'Gnus Mitzrayim Shvach. Talk about where you came from. What are your humble roots? You came from Avdei Avodah Zarah. Wow, what did you turn into? You turned into a Ben Torah. Ashav Kirvanu Malkum Lavodah So. And when you think about that, you contemplate that, you think to yourself, wow, look what I came from. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechazik me, allowed my history to become who I am, where I am. And this is an incredible chizuk for the individual on his, in his personal world, and his personal emunah, and his personal Avodah Hashem. And in a certain sense, maybe that's what Rav is suggesting, that this night is a night of personal growth. Whereas Shmuel says, no, this is a din of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is almost like a Pirsumei Nisa. It's a Pirsumei Nisa Daraisa. We have to tell this to all generations. We have to tell this to the world. Look what happened. The world power of Egypt that no slave had ever escaped from there before, that everybody was fearful of them. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Avarim hayinu l'par Mitzrayim, the people who were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his favorite nation. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem took us out. Le'inei ha'amim b'yad chazakah v'zuam netuya. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible power. B'shvatim gedolim, etc. The whole world has to know this. Bonalonu beis abachira, right? The truth came to the world. And we have to bring out this broader perspective of, in a certain sense, presuming Issa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the Am HaNivchar, and that's our role, and it's a Kloliistic role. And it's Muchach this way, we finish off that whole paragraph. Avadim Hayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. Why? Afilu Kulanu Chamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanu Yodim Es HaTorah. If we were all big tzaddikim, let's say I was already as an individual at the highest level. I was already at the highest level. Still, nevertheless, Mitzal in the Sabbath Mitzis Mitzrayim. It's still, I have an obligation to tell the story of the secret of Mitzrayim. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about my madrig where I'm at. It's about being the Farsim Asanes, being, changing the world with this perspective. So I think maybe you could say that this hashkafa, in a sense, on the Mitzvah secret of Mitzrayim, what is its impact? Is it supposed to be on the individual? Is it supposed to be on the broader world at large? Is a little bit the chakira. That is the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. And Lamaisa, what do we do? We do, Rabbi Berger would be so happy, we do both, right? We do both. Why is that? Because you can only have an Am HaNivchar, you have individuals who are growing personally in their Yiddishkeit, in their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, we're mechazik ourselves in order to be mechazik each and every individual as an Eved Hashem, and we may live then to be mechazik the Am at large, so we can have a greater impact on the world. Okay. And this brings in a beautiful idea when we say Avadim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim. So if Salvechik points out, this is brought down in Hari Kedem, that it doesn't say Avde Paro Hayinu. It says Avadim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim. We were our Shem Toar, our definitive title was not that we are Avde Paro. That's not who we are. But rather, we were Avadim, but to Paro. So, which implies that even though we were in a lower status, we were in a subjugated situation, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu never left our sides, and we never left his side. The Medrash tells us that we say in the Haggadah also, Malamed Shehayu Metsuyanim Shem, we were Metsuyan, we were outstanding. We stood out. How do we stand out? Medrash tells us Shaloshinu as Shemam as Habusham as Lashonam. That these three things kept us in character. That we didn't change our Jewish names. We kept our Jewish names. We spoke Hebrew. We continued to speak Lashon HaKodesh, and we didn't fall into just speaking Egyptian. And number three, we dressed like Jews. We dressed like Yidden. Also, we didn't go with the Egyptian styles. And these three things kept us as a unique people, kept us as a as unique individuals. And this is obviously an idea that we can take for ourselves as well, to try to be mechazik ourselves in when we look at ourselves in our galus. Here we are in a galus that's it's relatively comfortable, Baruch Hashem, current events notwithstanding. Although Baruch Hashem, what I'm saying, like comfortable today is almost as comfortable today as it was yesterday, Baruch Hashem, and the idea of Shloshim Shema is Mabushim Lashvas Lashonam, so keeping to our unique characteristics, this is a part of our avoda even in this galus. There's a story about one of the big askanim in the 50s, Mike Tress was close with the Satmar Rebbe. So they tell a story that he used to come and he used to consult with the Satmar Rebbe on a lot of like the communal issues and the political issues that he had to deal with. So the Hasidim once asked the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, I don't understand how you're like have such a close relationship with him. This is like a, in a sense, like a modern guy. He doesn't have a beard. So the Satmar Rebbe said to them, he said, you know, listen, after 120, they might ask him, Jew, where's your beard? But he said, but you guys, they might say, beard, where's your Jew? And it's so important for us to be in touch and be aware of where the Jew is inside of us. And this is part of the idea of maintaining our character as Jews, as Ovdei Hashem, and to remember, Avadim Hayinu L'Paro Mitzrayim, but not Avdei Paro Hayinu. Okay. There's a Shiloh that's asked in Halacha. I'm going to just share one and a half final ideas. There's a Shiloh that's asked in Halacha with regards to the Dalet Kosos, in terms of how is it that we make a bracha on all four cups. So Sfaradim indeed only make a bracha on the first cup and the third cup. They do not make a Baruch Pirei Gafen on cup number two and cup number four because they were Yosef, the Baruch Pirei Gafen with cup number one and cup number three. How is it that Jews, the Ashkenazim, make four brachos? So there's a fourth that I heard from a good friend of mine, Rabbi Ariel Shoshan. He's a rabbi in Arizona. And he said this at his Sheva brachos. He asked, why is Baruch Pirei Gafen one of the Sheva brachos? In fact, it's a question that you could ask on many things. Why is it that we even have a Baruch Pirei Gafen? Why do we have a cup of wine at a Sheva brachos, at a chuppah, at a bris milah, at a pidyon haben? We bring in wine all over the place. Are we a bunch of alcoholics? Do we just like to drink wine? Do we like to party? What's the story? So he explained that no, that wine is unique because, as many of you may know from Rabbi Kaller and his Hilchos Brachos, Brachos parties from the early days and the Halacha in the later days. So it's a unique, Baruch Pirei Gafen is a unique bracha because all other fruits, when you squeeze them, the it's downgraded. The juice that comes out is a downgrade from the fruit to simple juice. So that's why we go from a more specific bracha, like a Baruch Pirei Eitz, to a broader, more generic bracha of Shehakol Miyadigoro. But when we squeeze grapes and we get wine out of it, so wine is considered a chashuv drink, and therefore it's an upgrade to go from the fruit, from the grape of Baruch Pirei Eitz, up to the wine. And therefore, in a certain sense, Chazal, you know, we're misaking the bracha Baruch Pirei Gafen because it's more specific, because here the grape is becoming something even better. It's being raised up to its highest potential. So Rabbi Shoshan wanted to say that this is the same idea when it comes to many of these other contexts where we say Baruch Pirei Gafen, is that, you know, when a child gets his bris milah or a pidyon haben, so he's going from a pidyon haben, maybe, I don't know, okay, bris milah or by a wedding, yeshiva brachos, so you can see that the individual is going from, you know, kind of like a standard status to a more elevated status. He's becoming a higher, more refined person, right? Like the Sefer Chinuch says about milah, that we're perfecting ourselves. When it comes to marriage, we know that Tov Mashnayim Ne'echad is so much better than when we are married. There's a Shem by everybody who's not married yet. They should find their Zivug Hadam and Nachum B'Karov. And that really is the most elevated form of who we are as human beings. And therefore, the Baruch Pirei Gafen functions maybe not just as a Berchas Hanenin in those contexts, but may, in a certain sense, function even as a Berchas Shelach V'Hadah. That there's such a thing as that a bria, a creation, can become greater and more than it actually was. It can go from being a grape to being a wine. So too, a non-perfect human being with an orla can become more perfected by removing the orla. So too, a single can become greater when he gets married or she gets married, and therefore they become greater and greater. It's a birkas shemach hadad. The same thing is true every year on the Pesach Seder when we say a Baruch Pirei Gafen on the Dalet Kosos. It's because each and every stage of the Seder is being mala us to a whole nother level of our dveikus with Hashem. The Baruch Pirei Gafen initially is the recognition of a zeicher letzias Mitzrayim, that you know, in general, a broadness. So it's not so different than a regular yontif. But then at the end of the Maggid, after we've told the story, I've freed myself from the claws of galus, from the claws of a paro, and I've become elevated and closer to Kadosh Baruch. I'm ready to recount the Torah. So then I'm elevated. When I'm saying Hallel, you know, I'm sorry. When I'm benching, So after I've had a pseudo with the mitzvos of matzah and maror and shulchan aruch filled with divrei Torah, so I've elevated again. When I'm singing Hallel and Nirtza, so that also is bringing me to a whole higher level of recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, every stage is being mala mala, and therefore, maybe it could suggest that a Bar Pergavim comes in such a context. Finally, just to finish off, in terms of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so I heard many years ago a one-liner from Rav Yaakov Moshe Katz, popular and phenomenal Magid Shir in the Mir. He said, let it not be forgotten that amongst all the Divrei Torah that you may hear at the Seder night, or the Sedarim, for those of the, you know, Chutz Laaretz. So one thing must be said, that the story of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim reminds us, and we have to say this to our children if we don't remember, or to whoever needs to hear it at the Seder, we need to say it, that this story teaches us that Hashem loves us and He takes care of us. He always has and He always will. And just like we saw last night, the Yad Hashem was mamish, directing arrow missiles at every ballistic and every missile and drone that came our way. So too, in every generation, and Be'ezus Hashem, if we keep up that emuna, both for ourselves and for Klal Yisrael as a whole, Be'ezus Hashem will all be zocha to come to Yerushalayim Yerakodesh together, Yachan and Natzeach, Lechol, Min Azvachim, Min Psachim, and we should be zocha to see a Binyan Beis HaMikdash and a B.S. Mashiach, B'Karov, B'Mhirav Yameinu.